In a hole? Nobody raised their hand. I should have. My brothers threw me in a hole one time. We lived across the street from a graveyard, and they put me down in a grave that had been dug. I was about 4 years old and left me there. And Mama heard me screaming. They didn't win. Amen. Mama won. I promise you that. But I have been thrown in a hole. I'm glad, though, that I know somebody can get me out of the hole. Amen. Book of Luke, chapter number 19. If you got your Bibles, I pray that you do. Book of Luke, chapter number 19. I'm going to be as quick as I possibly can. How many of you are tired? Don't lie in church. How many of you are tired? Raise your hand. Let's go. How many of you are still full? I'm going to give you about half. That's all right. Good food, good fellowship today. I do appreciate that. That's for sure. Luke chapter number 9, chapter 19, I should say. And verse number 28, we're going to start there and read a few verses and preach for a little while. Amen. Verse number 28 says this, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him." Remember that phrase, "because the Lord hath need of him." "And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon." I want to go back to that phrase, "because the Lord hath need of him." I've heard for years, God doesn't need you for anything, and they're right. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you for anything. God's all powerful. We know that. God can do anything he wants without you and I. But after I read this passage, I got to thinking, if God needed two no-name disciples — you won't find their names in this passage or in the other passages if you go and study out, their names are not mentioned — and a donkey, he needs you and I to do some things. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight, is God needs you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're my Father. And God, I'm thankful that I serve a risen Savior tonight. And God, I don't know why my heart's so heavy just all of a sudden since I got up here, but Lord, there's something that you've got special for us. And I've come tonight, Lord, expecting a blessing from you. And God, I pray that you'd work and move in hearts and lives tonight like you have mine through this passage. God, we'll be for sure to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it all. And it's in your precious and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God needs you. Like I said, we've heard it for years. God doesn't need you for anything. And they're right. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me or you, Pastor. But God does need us to do some things. And if you look at this passage and these two disciples and this donkey, there's some things that they did that if they wouldn't have done, God would have still got it done. But I want you to look at something with me, okay? First of all, look at verse number 30 with me. He says, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at the entering ye shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." We go down to verse 35. It says, "And they brought him to Jesus." First of all, they would have never went and brought him to Jesus if they wasn't simply willing to go do what Jesus asked them to do. First of all, I see that God needs us to be willing. Simple as that. God needs you and I to be willing to do what he wants us to do, what he needs us to do for him. You see, you cannot be used of God if you are not willing to be used of God. God will never use you to do anything for him or for this church if you're not simply willing to be used of God to do what God has planned for your life. And you know, life is a struggle. Would y'all agree with that? Sometimes we struggle through life. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it's easy. But man, it seems like here in the last year or so, there's been more hard times for us than there has been good times. But the Lord started working in my heart, and he started saying, "You know what? If you'll just be willing to do what I ask you to do, I can use you." I've got a brother that when I surrendered to preach, I called and I told him, I said, I surrendered to preach. I fought it for years and years and years. He said, "You know what? I fought that same thing for years." He goes, "But I finally just become willing to preach the gospel. I finally become willing to do what God wanted me to do. And he said, I don't want you to preach. I just wanted you to be willing to preach the gospel. I can remember sitting here one night. Brother Scott Caudill was preaching. I was sitting right back here about where we normally sit when we're here. And he said this, not everybody's going to be called to be a missionary, but everybody should be willing to be called to be a missionary. Amen? You may be here tonight and you don't know if God's calling you to preach or what it is, but guys, if you're here tonight, you should be willing to preach the gospel. Ladies, if you're here tonight, you should be willing to be married to that man that's going to go preach the gospel. I've heard over and over and over, and your pastor has heard the same thing over and over and over. I can remember a guy right now, used to come over to Cedar Ridge. I still cannot remember his name to save my life, but he surrendered to preach the gospel, went and told his wife. 2 weeks later, he comes home. She had packed her stuff and she was leaving. And he said, what are you doing? She said, I didn't marry a preacher and I'm not going to be married to a preacher. I'm leaving. Listen, you should be willing to be married to a preacher. God needs preachers to do things and to get things done, but we need to be willing to do what he asks us to do. If two no-name disciples and a donkey, would y'all agree that donkeys are stinky and ugly and they're not fun, they're hard-headed? Who does that sound like? It sounds just like us, doesn't it? Sometimes we're stinky. Our attitudes are stinky. Our attitudes are ugly. Sometimes we're hard-headed and we don't want to be led. We don't want to be willing to do anything. You see, that donkey could have bucked up and stood there and not been moved. But that donkey was willing to go and let be led. Now, you got to remember on this that that donkey had never been set on, which means it had never been broke. It had never been ridden. It had never been broke. So it would have been a hard ride for somebody that didn't know what they were doing or that had never been trained. But see, that donkey knew who was going to be riding on its back. It wasn't just anybody. It was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he knew where he was going and how he was going to be used. And he was willing to go and be used. I see some other people here in this that were willing, the owners of that colt. When they asked, why loose you the colt? Those owners want to know, where are you taking my animal? Once they said, the Lord hath need of him, you don't hear nothing else from them, do you? That tells me they were willing to let the Lord use their animal for whatever it is he wanted to use it for. Hey, we need to be willing. Guys, maybe it is to preach. Maybe it is to be a missionary. Maybe it is to teach a Sunday school class or to be a deacon or whatever it may be. Ladies, maybe it is to be a missionary's wife or a preacher's wife or a Sunday school teacher, but you're never going to be able to be used for any of those things if first and foremost you're not willing to let God use you and take you and use you as he sees fit. You see, that donkey was going to carry a load, probably the most important load that it was ever going to carry in its entire lifetime. It was going to carry our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to what nobody knew what he was about to face but him. You see, he knew what he was about to face, and he knew where he was going. He knew where that donkey was going to take him, and he was willing to be taken to that cross. He was willing to go and be beaten and bruised and battered and sacrificed on Calvary's tree for my sins and your sins. Jesus Christ was willing to do that. You see, if you study those donkeys and you look at them, and those Middle Eastern donkeys, there's a stripe straight down the back of that donkey's back. From the top of its head all the way down its back, all the way down its backside, there's a dark stripe. And then you come up to about its shoulder blades and there's something else. There's another stripe going this way. About its shoulder blades. You know what? I didn't realize this. I heard somebody else say this. Jesus rode in on the cross. If you take that stripe straight down that donkey's back and across that shoulders, that's the picture of the cross. Jesus Christ rode in on the cross willing to go and die for you and I. Why can't we be willing to do something for Jesus Christ? You see, I know your theme's been talking about the impossible. Me and your pastor and Brother Jim had the privilege and the honor to go a couple weeks ago down to Murfreesboro, and their theme was the impossible. And I got to thinking, Brother Jim, we can't have the impossible in our lives if we're not willing to let God do the impossible in our lives. You see, we miss out on so much because we want to do it ourselves and hang on and do all these things ourselves, because we're not willing to let go and let God do what he wants to do in our lives. I see two disciples and a donkey that was simply willing to be used of Jesus Christ. You see, God wants to do the impossible in our lives. He wants to, but we have to be willing to let him. do the impossible. Crossroads Baptist Church, God wants to do the impossible with your church tonight. But you have to be willing to let Him do the impossible. Not only does He need us to be willing, God needs us, now listen to me, to be obedient. Verses 32 through 35 again says this, "And they were sent their way and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus." They were obedient in what they were told to do. They didn't say, "Well, Pastor, I have a better idea. Or God, I've got a better idea. I want to go do it this way. I want to go around this way, and I want to go to this city, and I want to go find this donkey." No, Jesus said, "You go to this place, and you find that donkey that is tied up, and you loose him, and you bring him to me." And they were obedient in doing those things. Listen, we got to be willing, but we got to be obedient when God calls and tells us to go do something. Amen? That's exactly what we have here. The disciples were obedient in doing what God asked them to do. No stuttering, no stammering, no wondering, "Well, God, I've got a better idea. I've got a better way I can do this. I think my idea is better." No, they were obedient in doing what God asked them to do. They didn't worry about it. And then we can look at the donkey. You say, "How in the world was the donkey obedient?" He just followed, didn't he? No questions asked, didn't buck up, didn't stomp his feet in the ground and say, "I'm not being moved." He was obedient in following what God had planned for him. Now listen, Christian, if we're going to be obedient, here's some examples for us, amen? There's some obedient things. There's some things that we've got to be obedient in. And there's things that as a Christian we need to do. God's told us, He's commanded us to do some things. First of all, we've got to be obedient in telling others. That is probably one of the greatest commandments we have, is to go where? Go ye into all what? The world. And do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Right? Go ye into all the world. You may not be a preacher, but guess what? This pastor and Brother Phil and these others that go out on visitation, and they're not the only ones that can reach. We have a responsibility within ourselves to tell others, and we've got to be obedient to go and do that. We've been commanded to tell others, and we've got to be obedient in telling others. Not only in telling others, but listen, this is one that a lot of people don't like to talk about and preach about. We've got to be obedient in our giving. Right? We've got to be obedient in our giving. I was telling your pastor earlier, we did a Sunday school campaign in our church, and we used this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 7 says, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." How many times do we reach into our wallet and we could have given more? But we just take out the lowest thing we have and lay it in the offering plate. That's not being cheerful. That's not doing what God's commanded us to do. That's not being obedient to God. I'll tell you this. I help take up the offering sometime in our church. And there are times, I've told them last Sunday night in our church, that I think they just hold on to their money so tight. And it's wadded up so tight that you literally have to sit there and peel the money back because people are so tight with their money and they're not obedient with their giving. And the blessings that we are missing out on because we aren't obedient with our giving. I was up preaching one night in a church up in Southwest Virginia and one morning, and I was talking about giving. I was talking about how God has blessed us. Last year, when God blessed us, we were able to give. Listen, we made less money last year than we've ever made. It's probably since we've been married, but we gave more to tithes and offerings than we've ever given in our lives. Now, I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on God tonight. But I was sitting up there preaching, brother, and God spoke to me right in the middle of my sermon and said, "Okay, give more." Give more? What are you talking? Okay. I'm preaching it. I better live it. We've got to be obedient in our giving and to do what God has asked us to do. And this next point here with what we need to be obedient with, I truly think if we would get back to this. Now, I want you to understand something when I give you this point. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about selling out. I'm not talking about going total opposite direction, a different version of the Bible. I'm not talking about changing your music. I'm not talking about any of those things. But listen, we need to be obedient in loving one another. Listen, 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It didn't say love the person that looks like you, love the person that acts like you. It doesn't say love the person that you want to be like. It doesn't say love the movie star, the actor, the actress. It says simply love one another. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they act like, whether they act like you, look like you, smell like you, or think like you. It simply says to love one another. Listen, if our country, if our churches, if our families could get a hold of that and simply be obedient with what God has asked us to do in loving one another, it would change. I'm telling you right now, it would change our country. It would change our churches. It would change what we're doing. All because we followed a simple commandment that God gave to us, and that was to love one another. Listen, not only does He need you to be willing, not only does He need you to be obedient, but I see something else He needs us to be. Look with me in verses 33 and 34 again. It says, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners therefore said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. I see a boldness. Amen, I see a boldness. I don't know about you, but that donkey's going to be pretty bold. I promise you, it's stubborn and it's bold and it's stand. But I see a couple of disciples that were bold in their answer that the Lord hath need of him. Yes, they were obedient, but they were bold about their answer. And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they loosed him and they took him. That takes some boldness, doesn't it? Here's some owners standing there looking at their colt, wondering, what in the world are you doing with my colt? Why are you touching it? Why are you loosing it? What are you going to do with it? The Lord hath need of him, and we're going to take it. And that's what they did. That's some boldness. Could you imagine going in today, going over here down one of these fields that we passed earlier today, and there's some horses or cows down there, walking into that farmer's field and taking that cow and saying, the church needs it, and I'm taking it. You'd probably get shot, wouldn't you? Or shot at least, right? But it takes a boldness, and we need to have a boldness about us. Here the disciples are showing their boldness and not second-guessing again what God asked them, what Jesus asked them to do, and just simply went and done it. And then I got to thinking about that donkey again. You know, as we keep coming back to that donkey, I heard Joe Arthur preach a message one time, and it was entitled this, if a donkey can do it, you can too. Amen, and I like that, but it's a little different. But here's this donkey, and I got to thinking about, how's this donkey bold? And I can remember growing up, we grew up in the mountains of Southwest Virginia and up here in Greene County on a farm, and I can remember seeing a donkey in with the cattle, or a donkey in with some sheep, or some horses, or just different things, and it was just one donkey amongst all this other livestock. And I got to thinking, why in the world is there a donkey there? What's the purpose of that donkey? Because that donkey's not afraid of anything. That donkey will kick the living daylights out of a wolf or a coyote or a bear or any of those things that are coming to try and attack that livestock. They're there for protection. They're there because they have a boldness about them that the horses doesn't have, that the cattle doesn't have, that the sheep doesn't have. They're there for protection because they've got a boldness about them that none of the other animals have. What's wrong with our boldness? When somebody asks you, where do you go to church? Are you like, well, I go over here in, what's that called? Knoxville, Tennessee, and it's called Crossroads Baptist. That's where I go, yep, Crossroads, and then leave. No, I go to Crossroads Baptist Church. We're on Bell Road. Come and visit us sometime. Amen? Let's be bold about our witness, and let's be bold about telling others about Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not preaching to just you tonight. I'm talking about myself, too. Listen, we have failed as Christians, as a church, in our boldness. We've let this, I'm not going to get political on you tonight, but we've let this left-wing bunch take a stand for what's wrong, and while we've sat back and watched it happen and not had a boldness about us and not said, no, that's wrong, and I'm going to take a stand for what's right. I'm going to take a stand for what's in this Bible. And if somebody doesn't believe the way I believe in this Bible, then you're not getting my vote. Period. End of discussion. I know the election, the midterm elections are coming up and all these things are coming up. But let me tell you something, folks. If Christians aren't bold in going out to these polls and doing what we're supposed to do as an American, as a Christian that lives in America, we're in trouble. We are in trouble if we don't take a stand and show some boldness about us. Listen, and I got to thinking about Brother Roller was preaching this morning. It kind of went in line with what I'm thinking right here. Now listen, we've lacked some boldness in training our children. We've lacked some boldness and getting a, we've raised a generation of wimps. Okay? We've raised a generation of people that, they take a stand. They show some boldness, but it's for things they just want given to them. They don't want to work for it. They want it just given to them. And listen, that's the wrong kind of boldness. But the problem is we've sat back and let it happen and watched it and not been bold about anything. You see, until we get a hold of this boldness that those disciples had and this boldness that those donkeys had, we're going to continue on the same path we're going. And that's a slippery slope. And it's going in a hurry. Amen. But we've got a generation that we have failed to train up with some boldness. Now, I want my boys to know that it's okay to take a stand for what's right. Listen, I went to a Christian school my entire life. And I would be lying to you if I said I never saw somebody drink alcohol that I was with. I would be lying to you if I said I never saw anybody smoke marijuana or do drugs in a Christian school. It happened. But you know what? I wasn't saved. I didn't know it. But my mama and daddy had instilled something in me that they had said, let me tell you something. If I catch you doing one of those things, you probably ain't going to live.
Right.
I can remember one time my daddy. Now listen, we grew up in a home where my daddy is a Baptist preacher and a Marine. Okay? I'm telling you, a Baptist preacher and a Marine. I was hoping my brother was going to make it here tonight, but he didn't. I can remember standing in our kitchen in Greenville, Tennessee. Now, let me tell you something. My dad does not raise his voice. Am I lying? Never. I'm 38 years old. I've never heard my dad raise his voice. You think you've got the biggest mouth of anybody in here tonight. I'm talking about me. My dad preaches. He doesn't get loud. He doesn't raise his voice. Ever. And my brother said something to him one night in the kitchen. And I can remember seeing him pick him up, sweep his legs, and throw him to the floor, and goes, don't you ever talk to me like that again. You won't get up the next time. Just like that, plain and as calm. You know where we'd be at today? That little kid would have went to the school, whined, and said, my daddy threw me on the floor, and where would you be? You'd be sitting in the jailhouse out here at Knox County Jail before you knew it. Let me tell you why, because we don't have a boldness about us anymore to take a stand for what's right. Listen, if two no-name disciples and a donkey can be bold, why can't a bunch of Christians get together and say, hey, we're going to be bold and we're going to take a stand for what's right? God needs us to be bold. God needs us to be bold about telling others, and God needs us to be bold about our witness, and God needs us to be bold about what He wants to do in our lives and take a stand for what's right. We've sat back long enough and watched all these people get their way and do what they want and have their way about it. What's wrong with us finally saying, hey, I'm over it, I'm tired of it, and I'm going to take a stand, I'm going to show some boldness because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And I'm going to believe in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to believe in this right here. And I'm going to be bold about my stand for the Word of God. And I'm talking about the King James Version of the Word of God. Listen, I'm talking about we're going to take a stand for what's the right kind of music, the kind of music that Crossroads Baptist Church has. I can tell you in about 30 seconds of going into a church of what's going to happen in that church when I show up to preach somewhere. About 30 seconds. What the pianist is playing on the piano when you walk in. They don't even have to sing a song. I can tell you by what's being played right there when you walk in the church of how that service is going to turn out because of the music they start with. Be bold about it. Be bold about taking a stand and doing what's right and believing in Jesus Christ. Listen, not only does God need you to be willing, does God need you to be obedient. Listen, we've got to be obedient as a Christian and do what God wants us to do. Not only does God need us to be bold, but we can't do any of those things if we don't simply, first of all, trust in Him. Listen, I have preached mostly to Christians tonight. But listen here, Christian, you've got to trust in Him. We were talking earlier about the passage that Brother Roller preached out of this morning, how much is there. Listen, I got a whole different message out of it this morning when he was preaching. I've got notes on a sheet of paper with a whole different message other than what he was preaching already. Because there is so much in that chapter of the Word of God that you can just take from it and soak it in. Listen, if we're going to trust in Him, we got to seek Him. Right? We got to go and seek Him and do all those things that Brother Roller was talking about this morning. But listen, God needs you to trust in Him. You see, when all those things happen and mama gets sick or daddy gets sick or grandma or grandpa gets sick, or you look at your bank account and you say, I've got these bills and I've got this amount of money and this amount of money doesn't add up to these bills, there's only one person we can trust in, and that's definitely not going to be your bank account. That's not Visa, that's not MasterCard or Discover or any of those other things that you can pull out of your wallet. The only person we have a choice to trust in is Jesus Christ. Because he needs you to trust in him, and he needs you to believe in him, and he needs you to put everything you have in him. Y'all have had the theme all year long of what? Nothing shall be impossible. Have you truly trusted in that tonight? Have you truly said, God, I believe that with you nothing shall be impossible? I haven't all year long. I've sat and I've whined and I've cried. I got to a point a couple of months ago that I couldn't even pray the right way. I would literally start to pray and driving down the road and just cry because I didn't know what to say. I was in a, God, what are you doing? What do you want us to do? Where are we going? And why are all these things seem like they're happening to me? And why? And he just simply, he put this message on my heart. I'd preached it before. He said, you go back to this, just trust in me. Just believe in me. Just put your faith in me and put your trust in me and let me control your life. You can't do it yourself. And y'all have heard my testimony about the night I surrendered to preach. And I said, God, I can't do it. And he said, you're exactly right, but I can. And I've just had to come to the point in my life that, God, I can't do it, but you can. And now I'm going to really trust in you and watch you and see what you're going to do in my life. I don't have a clue what it is, but I'm trusting in him for something. I'm trusting in him for everything that I've got. My wife and I have been praying for things this year for the last year or more, and God's not answered them yet, but I'm trusting that he's going to, amen? Because God said, call unto me. And what did he say, Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, and I will what? Answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's some things that God's got for me that I don't know what they are, but I've prayed for them, and he's going to show them to me, amen? Because I'm going to trust in him, and I've made a decision that no matter what happens, I've got to trust in him. And you know what? It went from whining and crying and pouting to praising and thanking and saying, God, thank you for allowing me to go through this valley, and God, thank you for what you've done for me. Man, he's brought me so much over the last 2.5-3 months. He has brought me so much closer to him. You see, we've got a choice to make. When those things start happening in our lives, when we, all those things that we look at and we say there's no end to them, I don't know where we're going to go from here, we can sit over here and whine and pout with them. We can complain and cry, or we can come over here and say, I'm going to just make a decision to trust in God. He saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. He told me to put my faith and my trust in him, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's a decision that we have to make. We make it. I don't make it for my wife. She doesn't make it for me. I don't make it for your pastor. He doesn't make it for me. It's a decision that we make on our own to say, God, you've done these things for me, and I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to trust in you. He needs you. Listen, he needs you to trust in him. If the impossible is going to be done, if we're going to see God do great and mighty things, which we know is not, we've got to trust in him. We've got to go to his word and say, God, you said this in your word, and I believe it. And I trust that that's what you're going to do. I'm not saying that you're going to go out here and you're going to win that $1.6 billion lottery ticket. I'm not saying that. But let me tell you something. If you trust in God, you're going to get something a lot better than $1.6 billion. Hey man, you're not going to waste some money on a lottery ticket that you probably have zero chance of winning. I don't care what the odds are, right? You're not going to waste that money that you probably don't have to spend on it anyway, but instead you're going to trust in God, and let me tell you, you're going to gain something a lot better than $1.6 billion. You're going to gain a reward in heaven that he's going to give you for simply trusting in him. He saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got something awaiting on me that $1.6 billion can't purchase. It can't even begin to fathom what it is. It's worth way more than $1.6 billion, amen? I'm thankful that I've got something waiting on me because I decided one day to put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. April the 4th, 2004, about 5 minutes from here, I bowed on my knees and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Have I been perfect ever since? Absolutely not. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Amen. Have I done everything God wants me to do? Absolutely not. I ran from Him for 12 years before I surrendered to preach the gospel. Listen, I didn't surrender to preach the gospel. Let me tell you why. And I may have told you this because I saw how Christians treated my daddy. I can remember as a five-year-old little boy. I'm telling you, 5 years old, folks. I can remember standing in the church foyer hearing men that said they liked my daddy talk about my daddy. Don't you believe for one second, if you're talking about the man of God that's sitting on this podium right now, on this platform right now, in front of your children, they're not going to remember it, because they will. And then guess what? Whenever you need the pastor the most, what's going to happen? Well, mama, you used to talk about the pastor like he was a dog. He didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And then where's that teenager going to end up? Where's that loved one going to end up because of how you badmouthed your pastor? Now listen, he's not told me one thing that's going on. I promise you, we talk a lot. He shares some things with me, but he is not sitting there. Never has he told me that one of y'all badmouthed him. Honest to goodness, I promise you that. But let me tell you something. I'm just telling you from my personal experience, where I have been with my dad as a pastor and being ran off from a church for simply opening the Word of God and preaching it. As a five-year-old little boy, hearing my daddy be badmouthed about because some people simply wouldn't trust in God. I've got a couple of brothers right now that will not go to church. Let me tell you why. The reasoning for it is, and it's a bad reason, and I'll tell them that because it's a human reason, is because of the way Christians treated their daddy in churches they were in. They won't go to church because of those reasons. What are you doing when you talk about your pastor? You're not trusting in God. You're not believing in God to take care of. Listen, if you got a problem with your pastor, go to your pastor. And if he doesn't want to take it, you just trust in God to handle it because God will handle it if he's wrong. But if he's right, you just trust in him that God's told him to do what he was supposed to do and you follow him and you do exactly what God had planned for and set in place for, and that's to do what the man of God asks you to do when he needs you to do it. Trust in God. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of those other things matter. You can't be willing. You can't be obedient. You can't be bold for Jesus Christ if you don't trust in Jesus Christ first. If you don't come to a place in your life where you say, I've got to be saved. If I died tonight, I don't know that I would go to heaven. You've got to simply trust in God before any of those other things can be done. You can't be willing to preach if you're not saved. You can't be obedient. You can't be bold and take a stand for God. You can say, I believe the Bible, I believe in God, but you've never put your belief in God. There's a difference. Listen, God needs you tonight. God needs me tonight. There's some things that we've got to do. We've got to be willing. We've got to be obedient when asked. We've got to be bold in our stand. And we've got to trust in God with whatever it is. Folks, it doesn't matter. It could be the simplest of things. Listen, and I pick on Dakota probably about every time I'm up here preaching, but that's okay. He my car's still running. I promise it's still running. Now, my wife's going to say, shut up. The last time you said that, the motor went out on it, and Dakota had to replace it. But what I'm telling you is this. That's one of those times that I whined, and I cried, and I didn't trust in God. But can I tell you, the second I stood up and I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how he's going to take care of it. I'm just going to trust in God to take care of it. Look, guess what God did? He took care of it. Amen. A few months ago, my wife had surgery over here and your pastor came and sat with us. And man, it was pouring the rain that morning. I kid you not, the night before we came down here, I replaced the starter on that stinking thing. We get down here in that hotel parking lot, pouring the rain, and guess what I had? A bad starter. The one I replaced was bad. It click, click. It wouldn't do nothing. Your pastor comes and picks us up. But by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock that evening, Dakota and Tyler had that thing replaced. You know what? Sitting in the car calling my wife saying, we're not going to make it in time for your surgery unless we can get somebody to get over here and pick us up. I wasn't very happy. I wasn't trusting in God at that moment. But when I sat there and waited on the rain to stop, because it was literally pouring the rain, and here we are, I said, God, I'm just going to trust in you. Take care of it. Guess what? God took care of it. Because I simply decided to trust in Him and not sit over here and waller in my pity. And my self-destruction, the road that I was going on. Listen, it's so, you say you're a Christian, you're a preacher, but let me tell you something, preachers have a lot on them too. Amen. We can get up here and we can preach it, we can shout it, we can scream it, and then you have to live it. Then you have to live it. I don't know if y'all remember the message I preached to kick off y'all's revival earlier this year, and it was entitled, "Can God Furnish a Table in the Wilderness?" Can I tell you, I've had to live it this year. He took me right back to that, and he said, "Hey, you preached it, now live it. Prove that I can provide a table in the wilderness for you." He took us through a wilderness, but guess what? He's provided. I can stand here tonight and tell you I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. Amen. I know that no matter what my tomorrow holds, God is in control of it, and I can simply be willing. I can simply be obedient. I can simply be bold in my stand for Jesus Christ, and I can trust in Him knowing that no matter what it is you face or I face tomorrow, it's God's will, and God's in control of all that we have. Listen, will you tonight, as we stand and as they come to the piano, will you tonight simply be willing to do what God asks you to do? Listen, will you tonight be obedient? Will you be bold for your stand in Jesus Christ? And will you put your trust in Him tonight? I've got to think, if we've faced some things in our family that we've just simply had to trust God in, there's somebody here tonight that's facing the same thing, and you just need to put your trust in God. Listen, you may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just got to put your trust in Him. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, I'd be lying to you if I told you that once you trust in Him and you put your faith in Him and you believe in Him as your Savior, that it's going to take care of all your problems. No, we're still human. We still live in this old stinking world, and we still have this old stinking flesh that we have to deal with. But can I tell you this? You will have somebody to lean on that understands everything that you're ever going to go through, that understands more than your pastor, more than your wife, more than your husband. He understands it more than we ever can if we'll just put our trust in Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed as your pastor comes, I'm going to turn it back over to him. But can I ask you this tonight? Are you here tonight and you can say, "Brother Sam, there's some things that I need to be willing about, I need to be obedient about, and I need to be bold about, and I need to trust in God about. There's some things in my life right now that I've got, Brother Sam, that I could raise my hand right now and say, 'Hey, will you pray for me?' I'm not going to embarrass you. I honestly just want to pray for you."